This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, I was in the post office today with an armload of boxes, and the lady behind the counter was peering at me over a countertop full of boxes, and I said, "And so it begins." And she said, and she smiled, and she said, "It's job security." And I said, "We will see you, much of you now."
Yeah, it's job security for all of us.
Well, our Christmas season starts earlier than most people's because we are, you know, part of our mission is to help other people celebrate.
Well, we provide resources for people for Christmas, and that's one of the ways that we keep our ministry going when we're not speaking and traveling around to conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's talk about gift giving tonight, Hal, because I see parents. I was just reading a story about a parent today who was in line at one of the local discount stores, and she was so upset because they didn't have the latest hot toy her child wanted. And I thought, you know, that's interesting because I kind of grew up in that environment where there was a toy every kid had to have that Christmas, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I just pored over the Sears Roebuck catalog every year. That was like,
I made pages of notes and lists. And
yeah, it was all magic, you know?
But, you know, we've kind of taken a different tack toward gift giving that kind of thinking outside the ads. It has been really, really great.
Well, I remember growing up, I had one relative that always was good for the latest, you know, exciting, highly advertised toy. And then I had other relatives who were good for, you know, educational stuff. And then there were some who could always be counted on for underwear and socks. And, and you know, it was a struggle for a child who has this consumerist mentality to be nice, to be polite, because some of these people were there when you opened the package. But,
yeah. There were certain relatives that I remember thinking, okay, I've got to be polite. I've got to be grateful or mom will kill me.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, you know, I found out that a lot of those things, a lot of the practical, edifying, constructive stuff that we got, maybe it wasn't highly advertised, but it lasted longer. It was something that had more value to it, not just the novelty of the moment.
Well, lots of times it had more long-term play value even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about today about some of the different kinds of good gifts you can give your kids. Gifts that you don't have to feel bad about spending money on.
Mm-hmm.
Gifts that will enrich your kids' lives or that will build their character or just, you know, give them profitable things to do.
You know, I had a friend growing up whose parents would always, they'd have some sort of celebration, but it was small scale. It was him and his sister and then maybe a friend, and they would go out to dinner or they would go on a field trip of some sort. They really focused on giving experiences and not just, you know, a shiny package.
Well, that's something your mom has done some that I think is really neat, the idea of giving memories
mm-hmm.
and experiences. Like, what could that look like? Say you're going to give a zoo membership to the family and you buy everybody different wild animal stuffed animals or something.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, or like I've heard of one family that gave the whole family a tent and a stove, a Coleman stove,
uh-huh.
and they gave each of the children sleeping bags and they went on a family camping trip.
Awesome.
You know, an older child, a teen might want a gym membership.
Okay.
You know, or you know, a college-age student might want pizza cards or, you know, something like that. Our kids have even found things for each other at thrift shops.
They have found some remarkable stuff at thrift shops. I mean, really nice things.
Tweed jackets and bomber mm-hmm. jackets and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing our kids have gotten into as they've gotten older is this retro cologne and shaving stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I think of it as drugstore brands because they're not very expensive brands that have been around forever, but you know, they're very retro. They were very hip in the 40s and 50s, and our kids have gotten a kick out of those.
Well, the aromas, the scents will take you right back. I mean, growing up going to the real live barbershop with my dad, my grandfather, you know, there was a couple of colognes that the barbers used, and they probably bought them by the gallon, but our guys found a place to buy them online.
And you know, I like the idea of giving memories and things as opposed to always giving devices. It seems like today kids really, you know, everybody wants the latest device, and there's a place for that. If you've got a kid who's 15 or 16, they probably need a laptop and a smartphone so they can learn how to use those things like a Christian before they head off to college.
Right.
Now, you know, don't do it without getting some kind of accountability on there.
No, I was going to say, we have some resources on our website. If you go to www.raisingrealmen.com and you look under the folder for safety.
Yeah, if you go to raisingrealmen.com/safety, that will take you to Covenant Eyes. And in a way that blesses our ministry, but also will allow you to get accountability for a month free for your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and we've got a lot of devices at the on the purity page. It's raisingrealmen.com/purity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of information about safety and devices. But, you know, for a lot of us, we want to get our kids off their devices and doing other things, doing real things. Doing active things.
Okay. Well, there's a whole range of stuff. I mean, it can be like you suggest, the activities, you know, to say, hey, we're going to take a family outing and we're going to go hiking, or we're going to go explore this museum, or we're going to do something, you know, that we're getting outside of the house. But there's other activities.
Well, you can give them sports equipment,
mm-hmm.
you know, a volleyball net and volleyballs, bicycles, soccer mm-hmm. balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can give them active things that can be used outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that our family has loved is games.
Yeah, and there's a whole range of them. I mean, you know, if you think back to your own childhood, I remember there were games that were classics. And then there were games that were, I mean, basically they were just marketing junk. There were tie-ins with TV programs and such. But some of those games were just outstanding, and they still stand the test of time. We find them in thrift stores.
Oh, well, some of our favorites, okay, mm-hmm. Pit.
Yep.
Pit is like a game of the Chicago Stock Exchange. Theodore Roosevelt loved to play Pit.
Yeah, he certainly did. And once you played it, you'll understand, oh, yes, that is something Theodore Roosevelt would just eat up.
And kids loved it. It's loud. It's obnoxious. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We like Milbourne's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a French auto race card game played in a group.
It's a card game. There's a there's kind of a pattern matching game called Mastermind that we loved when we were first newlyweds.
Okay, pattern matching makes it sound how like it's for 4 or 5 year olds. We're talking more like cryptology.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like you have four or five spaces on the board, and there's like 8 different colors.
Yeah.
And you have to, and one person sets up a pattern and hides it, and the other person has to guess it step by step.
So it's code breaking.
Yeah.
I love Mastermind.
Okay.
Our family loves Catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catchphrase is like you have to describe a phrase to your friends, and they have to guess what the phrase is. Mm-hmm. But you know, the big winner, I think, with our family this year, the new game,
mm-hmm.
was Snake Oil.
That was fun. That was Snake Oil is a it's kind of a card game.
It's a marketing game.
But it's a marketing game. What it is you take 2 or 3 cards, and they describe certain features, and you have to put them together and come up with a sales pitch.
With a product.
Yeah.
And you have to give a sales pitch for your product.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids loved it.
It's a
blast.
It's remarkably fun, because the stuff is, you know, you think, how can you match up those 3 characteristics into a product and then convince somebody else that that's worth buying?
Well, you know, one interesting thing that that your mother has always done is to give old things, historic things, family things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she's given, at different times, she's given one of our children a fishing rod belonging to their grandfather.
Or one of his antique tools.
Or a painting or a picture that's been in the family for a long time, or you know, even a dish, you know, different things that had been in the family a long time, furniture.
Well, and that's a great thing for, you know, older family members who really are trying to downsize and get rid of a lot of the bric-a-brac that is collected over the years. And some of that stuff is very, you know, some of that stuff the children treasure, because that was always at grandma's house.
Oh, yeah.
And to say, well, would you like to have that bowl, or would you like to have this cookie jar or whatever?
Well, I've got my grandmother's cedar chest. It makes me happy just to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that was a place of great treasures when I was a kid.
Mm.
Well, you know, books are something that my family and your family always gave. In fact, it's kind of a rule that everybody gets at least one book.
Well, my mother was a school librarian, and we were surrounded by books growing up. And so that was just assumed. I mean, and everybody was delighted to get books. I mean, because books are, well, they're like, they're books.
They're books.
Yeah, we love books. Books are great.
Well, you know, and our kids love getting old books. You know, antique books, like G. A. Henty's that we've collected at old used bookstores and Landmark books.
Or old Horatio Alger stories, or, you know, collecting different, you know, novel series from the 40s and stuff like that. Because you can find them in, like, library sales and estate sales. It's fun to just come out and collect them all year long.
And I love giving fun books that also teach something.
Okay.
Like, you know, a lot of people have given their kids one of the Truth Seeker series.
Mm-hmm.
And we sell that it teaches creation science, but it's an adventure novels.
They're really good. Those are by Felice Gerwitz and her daughter, Christina.
Christina, yeah.
And it was, you know, it's a homeschool mom and a homeschool daughter. Of course, she's a grown-up homeschool mom herself now. But they wrote this series of books.
Christina was a teenager.
They're family-centered, family-focused stories about young people and their families going out to archaeological digs, doing skin diving. I mean, just all sorts of nifty stuff and lots of good science in them.
You know, our family also loves audiobooks because audiobooks we can share. I love audiobooks. I can put it on an audiobook and we can all fold clothes.
I do chores,
you know?
Oh, our kids love the audiobooks so much. I got in the van to run some errands with my youngest daughter the other day, and she said, "Daddy, can we listen to..." And she named whatever the audiobook was. And I said,
"Well, it's our new one, the Five Little Peppers Midway."
I said, "Sweetheart,
she hasn't heard it yet.
Can we pull away from the curb first?" You know, she was so eager, so excited to hear that. But yeah, we did it. Last year, we did the Five Little Peppers. Actually, you did it because you're the one that reads it. But we did the Five Little Peppers, and then this year we have the Five Little Peppers Midway. That's the sequel, the second book in the series.
Yeah, our boys and our girls have loved the Five Little Peppers, and they've loved the Pollyanna books.
Yeah, we have Pollyanna, and then we have Pollyanna Grows Up, the first two books in that series.
And, you know, last year you did Men of Iron, and, oh, our guys love Men of Iron. And this year it'll be released in a week or two. We've got Captain's Courageous coming out.
Working on Captain's Courageous. I came down with a head cold the other day, so the recording has stopped for a little bit until my throat clears up. But we're working on Captain's Courageous, and that's another one that Theodore Roosevelt said that is a fantastic book that says everything of what a boy should be and ought to be.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to talk about Theodore Roosevelt, you got to talk about Hero Tales.
Nice segue.
Yeah, Hero Tales from American History was written by Theodore Roosevelt to teach character to American children through the stories of America's heroes.
Right.
And we added sound effects and stuff. And there's Hope's books, A Cry from Egypt,
our
and
friend Hope
Stand
Auer.
At Sinai.
Hope Auer writes...
Our kids love those.
She writes historical fiction of biblical themes. And if you've never read these, A Cry from Egypt follows a Hebrew family in the days just before the Exodus. What was it like to be a Hebrew family in slavery in Egypt?
Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic story and very true to scripture. And then the second book in the series, A Stand at Sinai. First book gets them from slavery to crossing the Red Sea. A Stand at Sinai is from crossing the Red Sea to the giving of the law in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
And she also did a radio theater version
that has over 50 actors and an original score. It's awesome. And several of my friends were actors in it. Oh, my word. It's funny to me to hear it. Like, I've got this friend who's a sweet, gentle mama. So sweet, so godly. And she plays Jaira's mom, who was a harpy. And she plays her so well. And afterwards, I went to her and I said, "Carrie, thank God he saved you, because you would have been a horrible pagan."
Well, those have been
really popular. And so we got a lot of audiobooks, and we love the G.A. Henty audiobooks. We carry all those ourselves. You know, we're always looking for great audiobooks because our kids love those things.
Okay.
You know, our kids also love constructive stuff. Like,
now, we are continually developing new stuff.
Well, you know, our kids grew up playing with Legos and Fisher Technics and what is the German one that... Playmobil.
Playmobil, yes.
Our kids love those. I think we have more Legos than Walmart does.
Yeah, the neat thing about Playmobil, I remember seeing a documentary that talked about the company, and the man who sort of was the chief toy maker in the story felt like, I want to give children the whole world to play with. Everything that they find in the world, I want the child to find in Playmobil. You know, if they have a dog, that dog has a collar, that dog needs a leash, the dog has a water bowl. And so we make all of these things, you know, and
well, last year, I remember we gave our daughter a playground, and it had a mama and babies and she had a diaper bag. And yeah, it's awesome. Playmobil is awesome. Let's talk about that just a minute. We need to take a station break, and we need to talk about our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com.
And we do need to talk about SchoolhouseTeachers.com, because this is that time of year when everybody gets so busy. And wouldn't it be helpful to be able to bring in a temporary teacher, a substitute teacher, to come in and do a unit study for you, or to do a short subject on whatever, music or art or history or anything else. There's so much available at SchoolhouseTeachers.com.
Well, you know, Hal, I was just reading today that there is daily stuff there. Like, there's daily grams, like daily grammar study, that you can use every day out there at Schoolhouse Teachers. And I just love the idea of that, of being able to have these resources when I'm feeling burned out and got no brains and can't think straight. And I can head out there and add some excitement and interest into our school day. You know, maybe some video that will get my kids' thoughts pumping, you know?
And it's good for our kids to hear some instruction from somebody other than mom and dad, to get used to hearing other teachers. And what a great way to do it, because it's very reasonable price.
It's less than it would cost you and me to go out to eat at McDonald's, you know?
Yeah.
Head out to SchoolhouseTeachers.com, check it out. We were talking about, because I don't want to lose this thought, about constructive things. And I felt very frustrated when our kids got to the end of that. Well, they're still playing some with Legos and things, but...
But they sort of get... They move beyond that. They have other interests developing.
And that's what I'm really excited about, because we've tried to put together some... craft kits, hobby kits that will give that transitional, the middle schools, high schoolers, things to do other than sit and stare at their devices.
Well, it's a great thing too, you know, to take your young people and introduce them to things, to introduce them to painting, to introduce them to sketching, or to introduce them to, you know, leather work or some kind of handcraft. And those introductory kits are just there to kind of give you a taste. Is this something you want to pursue? And then you go on to the next level.
Well, you know what? And each one of these kits we've developed has been the idea of our teenagers. They've said, Mom, we ought to do this. Dad, we ought to do this. Like, the first one we did was a chainmail kit.
Yeah,
it shows them how to do chainmail.
Yeah, it tied in with the Men of Iron audiobook project last year. And so in this kit, you get a nice wooden box. It comes with a big bundle of these little split rings that you'd use to make chainmail, and the tools you need to crimp it together,
clasp,
and patterns and instructions.
Everything you need. And so we also did a wood-burning kit, and we knew we're just introducing this month a calligraphy kit. And there's a kit to work with suede and make like a suede ammo pouch. There's a leather working kit where they're going to make a holster for a multi-tool and a flashlight.
Yeah.
All kinds of cool things. I'm really excited. I'm excited about this calligraphy kit. The books came in today, and how they're just fantastic.
They are awesome. Yes,
absolutely,
they are.
Interesting. So anyway, we've developed a whole line of these hobby kits for... those kids that are crossing into that age where they need something to introduce them to, like, real adult crafts, you know?
You know, you mentioned active stuff, and, you know, we've had a couple of things, and again, this is things that our teenage guys came up with and proposed. You know, if you've seen us at conventions, most people have seen us there with this incredible assortment of rubber band guns, and... rubber band guns and wooden swords and things like this, and those have been great for those kids that are, you know, 10, 11, 12 or lower.
Yeah.
But a year, I guess it was last year.
They need imaginative stuff. They need things that are going to engage their imagination. Like, sometimes I love to give them clothing items that can double as imaginative stuff. Like cowboy boots.
Oh, and a cape.
And
you can do all kinds of things with a cape.
Go to an army surplus store and get a field jacket. you know, that could be a winter coat, you know, but to give them dress up things for our girls, to give them, you know, adult looking shoes and dresses and things and purses.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to be able to imagine and to think and to have a rich life of the mind, you know. An army surplus store is a great place to do things like that.
They are.
But, you know, like you said, like you, I think you were starting to say, as they're moving into the teens, though, they can feel really torn about that stuff because they still want to imagine.
They still enjoy playing
with
the stuff.
They still want to play, but they feel silly playing with the kids' stuff.
Well, I guess it was last year, our older teenager said, look, you need something for the older teens, and we've got just the thing. And they found these training swords. They are heavy-duty polypropylene swords that are balanced and weighted so that they handle just like a real sword.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the kind of these are actually athletic equipment that's used to teach actors how to do sword fighting without cutting people's heads off.
Yeah.
And so we started selling these things, and man, they have been so popular.
Well, even our kids in their 20s love those.
Yeah.
You know, but the training swords, you know. That has been really fun to see those the things that they've enjoyed. A hot thing for the younger kids has been like those Pi-10 targets that they can shoot with rubber bands. Go plunk, plunk, plunk. You know, plunk. They love that stuff.
They do.
You know, tools are a good idea. You know,
and you know what? If you go to the homeowner stores this time of year, you can find all kinds of, you know, really decent quality homeowner tools at a very low price.
Lots of times in gift sets.
Yeah, and so you can find like sets of socket wrenches, or you can find sets of carpentry tools, or sets of, you know, precision screwdrivers if you've got a child that's really into, you know, maybe computers or electronics or things that, you know, they need those specialized little tiny screwdrivers and such. You can find all these kind of things at a very low, very reasonable price. And I'll tell you what, it's been a good thing when our college-age students have gone off from home to give them a bag of tools to take with them. You don't realize how much you depend on having dad's toolbox, you know, to go adjust something on your car.
Our new college freshman found that out. You know, he gets off to college and his car starts having trouble. And he's like, Dad, can you bring me some tools?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just assume you're going to have them. You assume they're going to be there for you, you know, when you want them, and maybe not necessarily so. But I think the thing is, you can spend your money on things that are going to enrich your kids' lives, not just on whatever the latest popular toy that there'll be a new popular toy in 2 months.
You know, you can look at things. Sometimes if you can sort of step out of the advertising arena and look at the toy and ask yourself, how would a child play with this? You know, is this something that will engage their imagination, or is there only one thing you can do with it?
Well, that's just it. Often, the more the toy does, the less the child does, and the less likely they are to play with it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to be something that is going to lose interest.
And so it's always good that, I mean, that's one of the things that makes the construction toys such a thing. And, you know, when our guys were really heavily into the Legos, we had to make a rule. We do not build monuments because they would build these giant creations and they want to keep them there forever. We say, no, look, you can keep it until, you know, Saturday or whatever. We give them a time limit.
But we have limited room in our house.
And we say, no, we don't want you to build something and then tie up 1,200 Legos forever and ever, but rather, you know, let's take it apart and do something new. Let's expand it. Let's change it, modify it.
Let's take a picture of it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that was really popular with our daughter a couple of years ago, our younger daughter, her brother bought her a little miniature kitchen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was surprised at how much she still plays with that and plays with it constantly, because she's beginning to learn how to cook a little bit in the kitchen, but she can only be in there supervised. And she can't do really exciting things in the kitchen yet. But
with her own play kitchen, she can run restaurants. She can be a chef. She can do all sorts of exciting things.
Oh, yes. She pretends like she has this restaurant called the Pink Katie Did.
That's, yeah. Yeah, it's really cute.
And what's her competition?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. The Green Frog or something is the competition restaurant. I love to see our kids imagining, because I think that's something that our culture has traditionally done very well that we're losing.
And that, sometimes it's hard to tell your child, no, you can't watch another movie. No, we're not going to watch another video. And sometimes, you know, when you
get... It's easy to just hand them your phone or your iPad.
Well, when you,
and they get quiet.
When you've been busy and you need that respite for yourself, fine. Okay, but sometimes you have to draw them back and say, okay, we've watched enough videos now. And they mope around and complain for maybe an hour or something. But then it's neat because you see it's like the brain comes back out of its shell. And they'll start playing something. They'll invent a game. They'll start drawing pictures or whatever. And so, you know, don't be afraid to tell them no. We're not people that say screens are evil. But we are people who say there are limits to this. And we don't want our children to grow up just glued to the set.
Now, a couple of things are kind of out of order, but I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
We talk a lot about boy stuff because we had six boys first. But, you know, when we're talking about tools, that applies to girls too, Hal. Like, you know, to give your daughter knitting needles or crochet hooks. And, you know, if I remember giving our 1 year, our daughter was, I think, 11. And we gave her a sewing machine for Christmas. And she loved that thing. And she has done so much with it.
And she learned a lot about how clothing is assembled, how to design clothing and modify clothing for different purposes. Yeah,
she's a gifted artist, but it has amazed me. She made a skirt for her sister with no pattern or anything.
Right.
She makes doll clothes and all kinds of things all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it has really multiplied her creativity. And I want our kids to be creative. I want them to think outside the box. Another thing I wanted to mention that was kind of out of order is one of the reasons I really love audiobooks is kids can understand a higher level of writing when it's spoken versus reading.
Right.
And I think it prepares them to read more difficult things and enjoy them.
It does. And we really saw that with one of our children that had some learning difficulties at first, and he was kind of a late reader. But we fed him all kinds of audiobooks, and audiobooks from like the late Victorian era, so they had long sentences.
And long words, yes.
And so when his reading skills clicked into place, man, he just took off like a rocket.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, something else we've enjoyed is old movies and old TV programs, like the Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers, and some of those classics from even my mother's childhood.
Right.
Our kids have really enjoyed those things.
They have. And I
think it builds a bond across generations.
Yeah.
You know, because they can talk about some of the things with their grandparents, you know, that they've got some shared experiences then.
Yeah. Yeah.
To read the same books, watch the same things.
All right. So let's see. Anything else that we want to throw out here? Because it's coming up on the end of our time.
I don't think so. I think I would just say think outside the box.
Right.
Be creative. I remember one family that really did not have the money to buy much of anything, and they were able to get some old, beat-up bicycles. And the father took them apart and sanded them. And he gave them to the kids in pieces. And they and they painted them and put them together and made new bikes out of them.
Awesome.
You know, you can do all kinds of creative things, whether you have a lot of money or a little bit of money. If you just... don't feel like you're bound by what the rest of the world is doing.
And it's really important to remember, you know, the whole point of the Christmas celebration is we're celebrating God's gift of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration of the gift of God's Son who came to die in the place of ruined sinners like us, who offers us the gift of eternal life. And it doesn't have bows. It doesn't have shiny wrapping paper. It's not advertised the same way, but it is priceless. And it is eternal, and it never goes away.
Amen.
And so let's remember that, you know, as we go through all the uncertainties and difficult economic times and the rest of that kind of stuff, to remember, really, why are we celebrating? The gifts are great, and they're fun, and they're a tradition, but let's never lose sight of the greatest gift of them all.
Hal, I want to speak to the people for just a minute.
Go ahead.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you this year, please consider coming and shopping at raisingrealmen.com/shop because when you purchase things at the shop, it keeps our ministry going.
It does.
And we are so grateful for it. And you'll find things that will build up your family and not tear it down.
That is so true. And if you want to come alongside of us as a ministry partner and be a regular supporter, we would just bless your name if you did so. You can come out to our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/Hal and Melanie. And that's where you can join the team and be a regular supporter. $1 a month is a blessing, or $1,000 a month if you got it, whatever. But, you know, it doesn't have to be much. We would just love to be in touch with you and have your support there as well.
Thank you so much, folks, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks so much, and please tune back in next Monday, okay? Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.